This is Corey Gray and Tony Stewart from Hairdistry. Thank you for tuning in to the Hairdressers Podcast. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Yo, what's good? This is Barry Harrison, a.k.a. the Stars Barber. And I just want to come at you today and tell you how Schedulicity has changed my life. Like, number one, it changed my life because it helped me get more organized. I was able to structure my day, structure my week. I know what type of revenue I have coming this day. If I need to run out, run an errand, if I want to take lunch, I'm able to do all these things. And it just helps to structure a barber or stylist or anyone that's in an appointment-driven industry. You're able to maximize your time. And time is something that you can't get back. So I value my time. And I love the customer service. And I've been with Schedulicity for over almost 10 years. I've been rocking with them for almost a decade. So happy to be part of the family. Happy.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jerry Natuno, CEO and founder of Schedulicity. And we're proud to bring you this amazing podcast.
Welcome to your day off. My name is Corey. And of course, I'm sitting with my best friend, Tone. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, brother?
So today we have we had two firsts. So this morning we got up really, really early and we did our first cooking segment. So we're going to get Mr. Tony's family favorite salsa out there. So,
so addictive.
I know. So, whenever you're listening to this, hopefully we have the video out. But if not, look forward to it. We're going to put out Tony's famous salsa video or how to make his famous salsa. So you guys would definitely enjoy that. Love that. Get us back to us. And if you make it, man, let us know because we're excited about that. That's why we're doing it. Is to kind of
took second place in the competition with that.
You took with the salsa?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, you did. Cause I think, I don't know how you didn't take first place on it. Cause that stuff is incredible.
Because when I did it on the grill, it was too much smoke. They said, oh, it's too barbecue-y.
Oh, you're like, man. That's what makes it good, man. Right. You know, to do that. So today we're excited because we have another first. We're actually talking to Mr. Amon Carver. However, our buddy Matt Sweeney was the one that kind of hooked us up with Amon. And Matt Sweeney, man, he's got a little grill ego though himself, man, because he's calling you out about how he makes the best steak in the house. So
yeah, we're gonna have to tackle that competition. You know what I mean? I'll definitely pick him up on that.
Yeah, that definitely. You guys, yep.
I'm not gonna hide from that.
You're not gonna hide from that. We're gonna go all in. So look forward to having Matt Sweeney on. He might be one of our first episodes if we can. Except he lives in Minnesota, so he's not gonna be cooking at like. He'll be cooking frozen steaks even off coming off the grill. Minnesota's right. Crazy. But like I said, yeah, so we have Amon Carver on the podcast today. And, Amon is part of like the three-headed monster of Lonza. You know, it's Amon, it's Leah Freeman, and it's Matt Sweeney. Listen, if you follow Amon on Instagram like I do, like Amon is such a good-looking dude that even like straight guys are like, that's a good-looking dude. You know,
yeah, he probably has the best physique in hairdressing.
I don't know who you would argue with, right? I mean, oh my God, what can you do? Right. And by the way, like as good-looking as Amon is, like his husband's even better looking than Amon. you're just all kind of like, damn, who are these dudes, man? Right. You know?
Yeah. So, but yeah, But even the pre-talk, you know what I mean? He's such a cool dude.
Such a cool dude. Definitely a big part of our industry, and has made. Listen, man, it's a cool dude. I'm really happy that he's in the industry with us.
Yeah.
That kind of sounded like I was flirting with him a little bit. Maybe I was. I don't know. but let's go ahead and bring him on in. Amon Carver, welcome to your day off.
Not my type, bro. Not my type. Get too old.
Womp, womp. That's awesome.
I'm glad to be on the show. But before we go any further and talk about all the things, I have to say one thing for everybody that's listening, and I will let you guys butcher it for this episode, but after this, because we are going to be officially friends. My name is Ammon like salmon.
Oh, Ammon. Ammon like salmon.
All right, don't worry. I could have told you on the pre-show, but I like to actually talk about that because there's so many people that feel like they know me because of social media and stuff. and I will DM with them and they'll talk to me and they're like, oh, I've known Aman for so long. And I'm like, it's kind of weird when you don't know how to say my name and then you tell people how well you know me. So that's my little trick to tell people is Ammon like salmon.
Ammon like salmon.
So listening, that's how you get, or Jam and Ammon or whatever.
Jam and Ammon. I've got to we're in.
I can't believe everybody that we've talked to that said, we have Ammon coming on. They didn't correct us.
Oh, no, Leah did.
She did?
Yeah.
Leah. Sounds like Leah. Most people know. I don't care. Until somebody says, we're good friends, and then they don't say my name correctly, I'm like, we should probably fix that.
Well, we weren't good friends until then. Now we're good friends.
Now I have expectations. Yeah.
That's it, man. Ammon, welcome. Glad to be here. Yeah, thanks for hanging out. And thanks for making the time for us. I know we're on a tight schedule, so we kind of want to get in. Ammon, where are you from?
Originally from Utah, which is actually where I'm at right now. I'm in my parents' home, the home that I grew up in. So I lived here until I was about 17 years old. Had a quick little moment where I went to Colorado, started my hair school journey, came back here, did the whole messy breakup with a hairdresser guy that I was with at the time, and decided instead, and we worked in the same salon. And then, so instead of starting over at about age of 21, I was like, you know what? I have $5,000 in the bank account. I'm going to move to New York City and see. New York City was good to me. So I lived there for about 50 years, held in, but, now, and then I just moved to Chicago recently, about 3 years ago. But today in Utah, originally from Utah.
Did you always know that you, growing up, that you wanted to be a hairdresser?
No. Let's see, how do I do this without all the emotions and all this stuff? I guess it's good for people to see, to know the story. Yeah. So grew up in a town in Utah where being a hairdresser was never even my realm of thought. I actually thought I was going to be a horse trainer. I love animals, love working with horses. I used to do competitive show horse riding and stuff. Not bragging, but I won like 3 national championships as a youth exhibitor. I was pretty freaking good at it.
Pretty cool.
I thought that was going to be my career. And then I turned 16 and I came out of the closet, and it was, it's a difficult area to try to find yourself and deal with personal guilt and, religious backgrounds and just trying to figure out where you fit really. And so, one of the clients that I used to ride horses for, he kept his horses in Denver and then would ship them into Utah like a few months before the show season for us to get them in condition and ready to go. He knew of my situation, said, sounds like you could use a break from your town to find a little space and discover who you are. Why don't you come stay at my place in Colorado and find out who you are. Mm-hmm. And so I moved to Colorado. And then I promise I'm not trying to make this a long story, but I got there. And it was great, but when you're insecure about where you fit in the world, having alone time, at least for me, isn't a really good thing. My brain can go to some dark places about where I'm at. And I was really, it was a very, very challenging time for me trying to understand the way to love and accept myself for who I was. And the reason I say that is because the guy that invited me there, he could see that I was almost the worst off. I was in a really bad, I didn't have any friends. I was really in this place where I was just feeling awful and guilty and wrestling with all the stuff that's really terrible that we have to deal with now, or that we did, not so much now. But the pivotal moment and the moment that I went from horse trainer Ammon to hairdresser Ammon was when he said to me, the way this guy made his money for his horses, when he owned a chain of hair salons and a hair school in Denver. And he was like, you need friends. I know you need people to talk to that you can relate to. Why don't you go to my hair school? And I was like, bro, I just told my parents I'm gay. probably shouldn't become a hairdresser. They're gonna lose it. But I took them up on the offer, plain and simple, as pathetic as it might sound, or as vulnerable as it might sound, I guess is a better word, vulnerable, was I didn't have any friends. I needed some people to connect with and feel okay. And I remember the first day of hair school, clear as day, every detail of that day, because it changed my life. Because I walked in and all the things that I was unsure of about myself or that I didn't believe in myself, I met a group of people that were like, you're so dumb. You're awesome. And they helped me celebrate and let go all the things that made me question and doubt who I was or who I am, and learned to teach me, like, because of hairdressers, I learned how to love and accept myself. So before I even picked up a brush or a pair of scissors, I was like, I'm going to be part of this industry, because they literally saved my life and helped me learn to be okay with who I am. And it's been my mission. I'm not only soapbox right out of the gate, but every event that I do, everything that I try to do, I put my heart into, and I try to make sure that that type of impact is felt when I talk to beauty professionals, is that they understand that, like, what you do is not, you're not just a stylist, you're not just a makeup artist. Like, you connect with people's lives, and you can impact the life of a person that you might not even meet, like a 17-year-old boy or 18-year-old boy that grew up in Utah that just needed an example of an industry that would celebrate who he was. And so I try to pay that forward with every single bit of me and every single event that I do. And that's how I became a hairdresser.
That's amazing. It kind of reminds me, hopefully we don't get sidetracked here, but it kind of, there's a Michael Jordan quote about, like, somebody was like, you know, Michael, you play 84 games a year. You know, why do you give it your all every time? And Michael said, because there might be somebody in the stadium that's never seen me play, you know, and it kind of reminds me of that, like Amon saying, like, no, I'm giving it my all because we can make a bigger impact, or we can be a positive role model.
Yeah, there's another 17-year-old Ammon out there that, you know what I mean, that doesn't have any friends or doesn't have anybody that they feel lost or they feel by themselves. You know what I mean? They can relate. That's a beautiful story, brother.
Yeah. Thanks, man. And honestly, that was a long time ago. I was 16 when I came out. It's a different world now, but that doesn't mean there's still people that have those challenges, you know, in different parts of our country where they just have doubts about whether their family will keep loving them or just, and those things, it's so sad, but if I can do one thing in effect, it's my commitment to just making sure that I speak my truth authentically, vulnerably, and set that up for people to say, like, it's okay to be you and you don't have to fit into a mold. You know, for a while there, I thought my role or my goals needed to be centered around being the best hairdresser or the, you know, the most published or winning the most awards. And as I've gotten older and wiser, as they say, I've had little reminders that just, like, remind me that my role in this industry is to help remind hairdressers that they have the ability to really, not kind of, but really change the way the world can be and interacts with each other, that beauty has the ability to transform communities.
Oh, that's awesome. And you said you're at your parents' house. Did you, how was that rebuilding that relationship? Was it quickly or were they still hurt?
No. So, I mean, they're here. They can hear me, I'm sure, somewhere in the room. So this is, I want to be very clear. Like, there was never a problem from my family. They were my family, thank goodness, even though, you know, we do have a religious background, they believe in unconditional love very first. And I think that's why a lot of people they get surprised when they hear that I came out of the closet at 16. They're like, wow, you're so brave. And I was like, but when your family makes you feel like no matter what you do, that they will always love you, you're not afraid to say things like that. It might be disruptive, mm-hmm. But there was no... there was no throwdown here. There was emotion, sure. Most of what I was dealing with had to do with my worry about the outside world and their perception of me, or what I had thought that I had caused the perception on my family. And that sort of guilt made me feel terrible. It made me feel like, what did I do? Did I choose at the time, did I choose to do this? And now I'm dragging my family through all of this. So those were the things. But in my house, I mean, nothing but love, nothing but love.
That's amazing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, Ammon, I'm going to you said that at 16, you kind of, you know, you were figuring out who you were. And I'll tell you, in my own journey, like I didn't, that wasn't even someplace that I went until I was up in my mid 30s. Right. So, and just about who am I, why am I here, and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, if to subtract like 16 years from there, and like where like your brain's a little less mature, your frontal lobe isn't even like fully developed yet. Like that's pretty amazing. And I think that, you know, the story or the love that you spread to the industry isn't for every 16-year-old gay kid. It's for everybody that's trying to find themselves to and we still get, even in the industry, we still get like parents that are like, you want to be a hairdresser? You know, just that you give people permission, and I believe in giving permission. You know, the fact that you're giving people permission to find themselves, whether that's as a hairdresser, as a gay kid, as an awkward kid, I think Robert Cromine says it best. You know, we're the industry of misfits, and like you're with that love, you're giving permission for permission to be you. That's awesome.
I love that. I believe in authentic. Yeah, being your authentic self, whoever that is, just let that be, and that don't feel like you need to try to copy. It's good to have people that you want to be like and aspire to be like, and then those kinds of things. That's different than abandoning who you are to try and be that person, right? So right. There's a special you in every single one of us. God, that sounds corny when it comes out of my mouth, but like,
it's true though.
It's true. Right? Yeah, like everybody has their own way that they can come across, and they don't need to try to be an influencer that does the same thing. I mean, if we get too copycatty with each other, the world is full of lots of noise with all this stuff, and we just start to talk the same and sound the same and act the same. There's so much diversity within us, and I love right now that we get to celebrate diversity, because it's such a front of mind topic, and it goes hand in hand for me with authenticity. Because diversity, when people hear it right away, diversity, they think about racial background, they think about that stuff, but like there's diversity in thought, there's diversity in all kinds of stuff. So when we come to the table, like my background and what I bring to the table because of the way I was raised is a completely different perspective than Matt's or Leah's, like you guys have had on the show, just because of the way we were raised. So our input is diverse and our thoughts are diverse. And if we tried to do what we thought was the formula for the right thing and didn't trust our instinct or be our authentic self, then we wouldn't be able to move the industry forward, because it'd just be repeating what we had learned somebody else told us to do.
Right.
That is so true. And you're speaking, and plus it just gives you so much like flavor and you know what I mean? And what you're doing is, and it's not just, you know, the same old, same old.
Yeah. There's no doubt. That's all. So you went to New York, and then what was your New York kind of journey?
New York is amazing. Like, wow. So a long time there. So when I first went there, I didn't really have a job. I didn't have a job. I had already kind of had a little relationship with Matrix, starting as like a local educator teaching salon classes and stuff. Sure. And I said, oh, I'm going to move to New York City. And they said, well, we'll make sure that we get you enough classes so that like you can pay your rent. And I was like, okay, well, that's helpful. That gives me something to like at least bank on. And then I applied for a job at the Warren Jacomi Salon, which is like the bougiest salon in New York City, which is kind of funny because it gave me also another perspective. It's in the Plaza Hotel. People get dressed up. I had to wear a full suit to work. I had to compartmentalize in the salon. And they also had like an agency for like freelance artists that they would rep too. And that was a big thing. A big dream of mine was to be a photo shoot session stylist that learned how to do, you know, hair for the big magazines and stuff. So I got there, got the job with Warren Jacomi, expressed interest in working on that side. They said, well, you don't have any photos or portfolio. And I said, I don't care. I'll help and assist whoever. So I did a lot of free work on set, learning from some of the really, you know, some really, really great hairdressers, which helped me develop my eye and approach when it comes to session styling and the photo shoot work that I do. And then I also worked in a salon where, you know, I understood the expectation of a client that really wants a luxury experience. Sometimes that can be over the top, but what is luxury experience? What are their actual expectations? You know, like what do they need? So that served me, because after I was there, you know, I landed a contract with Matrix to be an artistic director, which was huge. Gave me a nice stable income instead of one-off classes. Right. I had this great salon that I was kind of growing and learning with the clientele. And I was slowly but surely building my portfolio to start doing some work and learning to network so that I was actually getting some of the jobs with these magazines. So within that time period, I was busy. I was traveling around the world with Matrix, introducing product lines. I think during the time I was there, I went to almost 50 different countries across the world and like introduced the brand into the world. So first of all, how lucky, like what hairdresser gets to travel around the world, experience all these different cultures, go in there and like launch a brand, but do it in a unique way that's relevant to that culture. And so I had to learn about that culture, what mattered to them. They got to take me around and show me all the cool things about those different countries. And so those are experiences. I'm like, oh, geez, I'm so blessed to have had those experiences. Then on the same end, I'm working with these great hairdressers, get to finally get my work published in Vogue, Vanity Fair, you know, Marie Claire, all these ones that I'm like, wow, this is happening. And this is the part where I would tell you, like, there's these moments that kind of remind you. So I was getting busy enough that the freelance manager that I had, she was like, I can't book you anymore. The L'Oreal has your days booked. Any other days you're like in the salon, there's nothing for me to do except for kind of manage your schedule. I said, well, why don't you become my manager instead of my agent, right? You can kind of help me manage what I'm doing and kind of like, you know, keep me in, I can stay creative and you can kind of manage all that stuff. And she's like, that sounds good. So in that process, we got to the point where I had enough attention and press and celebrity and stuff that was happening that I would invite them to come into the salon, but they wanted to do a story about me. And the salon was like, It was conflict because the salon wasn't Matrix only, but they wanted it to be a Matrix and Ammon story. So blah, blah, blah. So I said, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, but I think I need to open up my own place. And I was like, oh God, I did not want to be a salon owner at all.
He's there complaining that he don't have any time left. And then he thought like he could free up time by like opening a salon. Right. Nobody thinks that, Ammon. Nobody thinks that.
throw it on there. But I was like, that way then when people come in, there's a full immersive, like, I understand who Ammon Carvery is based on like, What is the decoration? What is the experience? What's the energy like? And so we created a concept that was a hybrid hair salon and photo studio. It was, guys, honestly, probably the proudest thing I've ever done in my life right now. It was really incredible. I opened the salon. The front half of it was salon only, where clients were just regular, you know, clients getting hair services done. But it was, they could look across the waiting room, and the back half was a photo studio where we would either rent it out or have photo shoots happening simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So our clients would get a full head of highlights, but asked to be turned towards set so they could watch the photo shoot happen live and get this cool, like, behind the scenes experience. And the part of it that I didn't realize that worked really well in my favor was because we had all that content, all the clients would then jump on set really quick after they got their hair done, and they would get these amazing like photos, and my stylist would post it. So within the first year, we climbed up to one of the top five salons in New York City, like in my first year of opening. And then we entered Naha as a salon team, and we won salon team of the year. And I honestly, this is kind of one of those ones I was feeling like pretty hot shit. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was like, we're hitting covers of magazines. We're winning awards. I opened up my own salon in New York City. Like, I'm the man. And then like the universe decided to smack me a little reminder. And I sat down with one of the staff members that I, you know, I'm so grateful that I brought him on board, because he's like, you know what I want to do? He said, I want to go to India and I want to do haircuts for like kids living on the streets of India. And I was like, I'd go. And he's like, yeah, you want to go? And literally it started with a conversation that small. And we said, okay, let's figure out how we can go. And as we started to talk about it, and I talked to Matt and I talked to Mark Bustos and all these friends that I made through the industry, they were like, dude, I want to go. And we were like, okay, so everybody, we're going to like host a cut-a-thon in all your individual salons. We're going to partner with a nonprofit out there that basically does like housing or schools for kids living on the streets. So they feed them, but the kids have to go to school. And our small little group, there was like one conversation turned into 17 very influential hairdressers helping raise money. We raised in about a month's time, we raised $25,000.
Wow.
Went to Mumbai, India for about 4 days and did haircuts for like 400 kids living on the streets of Mumbai, India, and gave them the ability to like create more of those schools. And that was the like moment where I was like, oh yeah, I forgot why I did this in the first place. It wasn't to be the coolest or the most badass hairdresser. It was because we can make a difference in the world. And it shifted. It shifted my mind and the way that I think about every project that I do. And now things come more from like a place of connection and a place from heart. Yes, I can teach technique. Yes, I want to help you make money. Yes, I want to help you be as badass as you can be behind the chair and make money. But more importantly, I want you to know that what you do matters. What you do makes an impact and can change people's lives. So that's wow. that's my mantra now these days, is remind people that you're a hell of a lot more than you think you are.
I love that, how you came full circle.
Yeah. That's badass. Have you looked into like Harriet or something? When we had what was her name? Tabitha's friend. Oh yeah, I'm brain farting. But we had the woman
that, old.
I know, right? We had the woman from Hair Aid on, and she was saying that in a lot of the Asian countries, the kids can't go to school if their hair hits their collar. So that's why haircuts are so important, right? So like they'll actually tell the boys that they have to leave school if their hair is hitting the collar. So you know what she does is she trains a bunch of like, it's not really hairdressing necessarily, but she teaches people how to cut hair just for their communities, you know, so the boys don't get kicked out of school. You know, so it's, you know, to say that it makes a bigger impact, like you're making an impact just by cutting their hair, these kids are now allowed to go to school, right? Think about that. Like they don't get an education if they don't get their hair cut, you know, and like in that we can impact even those lives. What a powerful
thing. Yeah. They rescue young kids, you know, out of the sex trafficking game. And
yeah, Harry does. Yeah. And then they teach these women or these young boys, young men, how to prepare a skill. Exactly. So,
So right after that, we came back and we're officially, it took us a little minute, but we're officially a 501c3 certified like nonprofit organization called Humane Beauty for Change. The two or three of us with that small little conversation turned into this actual organization that can take, you know, donations. And we've been to Ethiopia since. But more importantly, what we realized was that those trips are epic. They're epic trips that are life-changing trips. But there's a lot of stuff that you can do right around where you're at. And we're in the process of scaling. And I'm taking this not only... That's Lonzo's vibe. So it's super, you know what I mean? It's like, right. It's easy because we innately want to do this. So I get passionate about whenever we have things, you guys said sex trafficking, that's front of mind for us at Lonzo conversationally right now too. But you know, we as a salon in New York, but just to kind of wrap up my time in New York before I ended up saying goodbye to it and moved to Chicago, we set up a regular, a regular visit. Every 8 weeks, we would go to this like youth homeless shelter, you know, kids that were there for a lot of different reasons. A lot of it had to do with sex trafficking or, you know, LGBTQ families who just, they wouldn't accept them, or lots of different reasons with lots of varying degrees of trauma where they can stay there, get education. And we would go in once every 8 weeks and just give haircuts, hang out, teach them hygiene skills if they didn't get raised in a house where families found that important or knew how to teach them that. And it was the most rewarding experience. My studio, when I owned it in New York City, had almost zero turnover. We would have people come in, and that's when I realized more firmly than ever that when you connect a group of people to a purpose, that they feel like they're making an impact, they don't start counting hours, they don't start billing for overtime. Of course, I'm always fair, but like they'll go to the earth, to the moon and back, if they feel like what they're doing matters and it makes a difference. And it was so amazing and so hard for me to say goodbye to that Ammon Carver studio, but it was the right time and the right chapter. I closed the book on on that chapter of my life, because I felt a new calling and a new pull that pulled me to Chicago. And I don't think that life is supposed to keep going. I think it's supposed to take you on a journey. And it was amazing. And I was like, now I need to give this. So that guy that I had that conversation with, we went to Mumbai. I said, how'd you like to be a salon owner in New York City? And he's like, dude, I would never do that to you. And I'm like, well, what if you took this salon and the clients and the family and you kept them together? And I looked at him, I said, you promised me this culture and this team and this vibe remains intact. And you got a business that's ready to open up day one with a full book of people. Wow. And he was like, wow. So they're all there together. They're still like, I feel like I'm still there in spirit. And they celebrate. They're like, go do you and tackle your new journey and your new mission that you have forward thinking in front of you. And I look back at it with missing, but also with like this fondness of like, that was awesome. What a great experience. And what a way for me to leave and be able to say, look at what I was able to accomplish. I can't wait to see what I can do next.
Wow. You know, what I'm hearing too is that, I mean, a lot of people, they start something and they're going to stick with it. I started it, I'm going to stay with it, right? And even though that they might be not necessarily over it, or it's, you know, the universe is wants to pull you to a new direction, they stay with it, right? And then next thing you know, 30, 40 years go by, and you know what I mean? You look back, it's like, when something calls you, you listen. You know what I mean? Whether it's going to Colorado, whether you know, you wanted to start something because it's helping others, or, you know, something, you weren't afraid to try it or build something so successful and you weren't afraid to leave it. That's huge. Right. And so that, to me, like, even in the beginning of this podcast, you said you trust your gut and your instincts and you listen to it, and to leave that behind, and that takes a lot of courage, a lot of courage.
I was terrified. It's not, I mean, don't get it twisted. It's not like when I make these decisions that I don't have a gut like wrenching, like,
you better have a gut.
But saying, know, a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people hold on to what they have. They're afraid to do that. You know what I mean? But for some reason, I know you're scared, but you embrace that.
It's
new
never
call.
Done me wrong, like, ever. I listen to, it's not, I don't want to be philosophical about it, but like, I feel like the universe presents opportunities all the time. Lots of times we don't even see them. They're like, here's a chance for you to either take it and run, or you can let it go and continue on the path like this. Or you can say, you know, where I'm going, sometimes we get so laser focused on like where we want to be, and we think that this is the path to getting there, instead of just trusting that the universe will get us there if we allow it to take us and we learn something that we needed along the way just by following a detour. And every single time that I've trusted my gut, when the universe, and I'm a very self-aware person. So like, sometimes it takes a little tap, and then sometimes after a while, I feel like the universe is like, how many times am I have to like, like, so then finally I'm like, all right, I'm listening. I know nobody understands this but me, but the universe keeps coming into my head, or something keeps coming up that like is saying, go this, do this, trust this. And every time I have, I've never regretted it ever.
That's amazing.
No.
Ammon, how long have you been with the Lanza team?
Lanza, seven years.
Was Matt there before you got there, or was did you guys go in as a team?
Long before. He's an old man, dude.
Yes, he is. But, dude, I'm kind of like, it brings up an intriguing question. Like, you've got like these two like totally alpha dudes. Kind of, did you guys butt heads? Did you guys like have to have a Greek wrestling match?
Like on the side of a mountain, you see these two big giants, exactly. These rams with these horns, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a funny metaphor, but I wouldn't go as far as to say like there was like a moment, but like, I think there's respect, right? Like, even on any photo shoot, when you have somebody who has a strong perspective, but you're both aligned to get the best, then you're not afraid to like push, right? So Matt and I have that with each other. Like, I'm not afraid to tell him, like, I think we can do better. And then same way, like, we respect each other's vision. I think Matt is incredible, incredibly talented. He's a visionary. He trusts his gut. But I also know and I trust like that what I have to offer is valuable. And so there's, it's never a fight, but it's always like a respectful, it actually it's even less because now we more like can read each other before we even have to get that. We're like a more aligned, but even at first, it's kind of like a push to you, a push to me to make sure that like, but it, right from the beginning, I told you that initial conversation, when we first talked on the phone, I think Matt just wanted to understand my intention. And my intention of what I like, I wasn't coming in to reinvent or dismantle the years of work that he had put into building a culture with Lonza and one that he was very proud of. And I had to like say, yo, like that's why I'm coming. Like I don't want to change that. Like that's why I want to be part of this. And so once he understood that like I would be his ally in making that like bigger and that I could help him look at it from a different perspective or add more ideas so that it wasn't just all on him, because that creative process is hard sometimes. Sometimes ideas just come and sometimes it's like, man, this one's taking a minute. I don't know why, but I just can't get into it. And when you have somebody to riff off with that you trust and you have that psychological safety where you can say, I don't know if this is a dumb idea, but I got to say it out loud. Help me with it. We have that, right? So I can call Matt, I go, is this dumb? Like, I'm feeling something that's like this. And it's like a geeky creative conversation that somebody else would go, what are they talking about? But he's like, oh no, I feel what you're getting. And then all of a sudden it becomes and it snowballs and then it turns into something. And it's shaped out of something where if I'd held it together or tried to process it on my own, I don't know that I would have been able to get there. I need a person that I can banter and go with. And we have that relationship. So there was no alpha male fighting. It was more just like respect for one another. And like, I expect you to call me if I'm not being my best. And he expects me to call him out if he's not being his best. If he doesn't show up the way that we need him to, I'm like, dude, go for a grass walk or whatever you have to do, but come back and show up as the leader we need you to be, because this isn't you. And he's like, I'm like, I got this for a minute, but get it together. And awesome. I say that with love. I don't mean that in a bad way. I think it's a great relationship. It really is. He's a great guy.
Yeah. And anytime you surround yourself with people that are just as strong, if not stronger than you, it's, you know what I mean? You're going in the right direction.
Yeah. It's keeping your eye on, it's keeping your eye on the big picture and not in your ego, right? But it's hard, man. It takes a lot of years of experience to kind of like look past your own ego, right? It takes a lot of moments to get past your own ego, right? Where you kind of have to look in and go, okay, how could I approach that in a different way? And then, you know, moving forward, then that becomes like your new mantra. Like with them, it's all about like, no, it's about the image. It's about all of us and not just my opinion and stuff. And that's really,
and good. I remember when you first started the podcast, you talked about like the three-headed dragon, like me, Matt and Leah. And it's an amazing experience because we work very well together. We're very good friends. Not just on stage or on camera, but in real life, it's a real thing. But I think what we've also learned over the years to do is to help each other to share the load, right? So in the beginning, we were all involved in every project and it was like everybody had to approve on everything. And now there's this trust and there's this expectation that we all understand. So I'll say, for example, if Leah can take the lead on this and she keeps Matt and I informed and we jump in when there's critical decision points, but she can run with a certain project and then I can run with a certain project and be the lead so that we don't have to all be. And then that way, we all have other jobs and other things and other, you know, family life, just life. Sure. So that you don't get so spread thin that we can help each other out and we can balance the workload and be like, hey, like I got this for a second. I'll run this part of it. I'll bring you guys in when it comes to like what we need to make sure that we're super aligned on. But other than that, let it out of your brain. I'll carry this load for a second. And so it's great to have that trust and to be able to balance it out and not have, like I said before, like the burden of being the sole carrier of like that one thing, to have people that's like, okay, you got this. Cool. I need a little break. I'm still in the project, but like, if you can lead it and run it to a certain point, then we can jump on stage and execute and you have that trust that it's going to be amazing.
What brought you to Lonza? I mean, you were with a big company, a big corporation, but what brought you there?
It was, again, that universe just flicking in my forehead.
Wake up, Batman.
I didn't really have a reason to leave. And that's what I want to make sure that, like, if anybody knows, like, I was with Matrix. I was one of their top, if not the top requested artist there. I was in a good spot. But I met David, like, by chance, and we had literally by chance at, like, some hair show offsite, like at a bar, just like striking up a conversation. I had no idea who he was. I don't even think he knew I was really. We were just kind of conversing friendly, and we talked, and he painted the picture about a brand that, you know, cared about empowering hairdressers and helping them believe in who they can be and that they have the ability to inspire others and help not only our industry, but help themselves and others grow in a lot of ways. And it was like this conversation where you go, holy shit, this is exactly like, that's everything I believe in. He just summarized everything that I believe in about who we are as an industry. And I was like, this is not a coincidence that I'm sitting here with a guy that I would just ran into who literally just, he saw me, right? Like he stands for everything that I believe in. So we chatted after that, we stayed in touch, and I was like, was that real? And like, let's talk about what this is. And it little by little, there's decisions that you make that you have to mull over and you have to kind of think about for a little while. But that wasn't one of those. That was one of those where I kind of like, I left that and I was like, I need to be part of this group. I need to be part of what they stand for. Small, big, I need to feel like I loved it. I loved it, and I loved my time with Matrix. But again, I just felt this calling that said, this small brand can literally echo those things that you've been thinking about. You know, it's like, here's this little guy that's this little brand that's barking all these beautiful, like, you know, life-changing, earth-changing kind of like impactful moments. And I was like, I want in. I need to be in. And so that kind of drew me to the brand. And then thank God their products are great. Because it was literally all culture and nothing to do with the products at first. And then once I started using them and I had incredible success, because I don't want to discredit, like, anybody wants to try Lonza, like, that will bring you to the brand itself. They're incredible products. I'm so grateful for that part of it. But people, like, people follow people. That was my reason, was the culture and was the belief and the mission. Not so much about the bubbles in the bottle concept. Right. So I'm there happily. I'm a proud tribe member. I will be there for as long as we keep beating this steady drum the way it is.
That is awesome.
That is cool. And again, you know, you the universe is, like you said, plucking at you. You had this gut instinct and you went for it, and you know what I mean. And I think we all maybe should, like you said, you know, the universe offers opportunities all the time, and a lot of times we just don't see it, or we don't recognize it, or we're just numb to it because we're so focused in on what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Is to take a little bit of a deep breath, relax, and be more kind of in tune to your instincts, to your guts, and you never know what's, you know, can present itself to you.
I appreciate you asking me too, because a lot of people in the industry, if they just see a transition happen, if they see an artist jump from another brand, they could write their own story about what happened. And so I want to go on record and let everybody know, like, when I decided to say goodbye to Matrix, I called and my boss, he literally said, I feel like my kid is going to college and I'm not changing his room in case he ever wants to come back. That's and incredible. He did it in a way that was like, you know, there was no hard feelings. He was like, you follow your heart, kid. That's where you have always gotten you to where you are. So I love them. I still consider them my family. Anytime I get recognized in the industry, my Matrix family cheers for me just as loud as the Lonza people do. And that's why I'm like, it, brand aside, you know, like, we're all in this for a bigger purpose. So we can work for brands and talk about brands and champion their products. And that's how we, you know, make money so that we can, like, you know, provide the services that we need. But at the end of the day, we're unified as an industry, because we all stand for the same things. And so those brand things, it's relationships and connections and our impact as an industry.
Too. Yeah, that's our heart. We believe, you know what I mean? Just all of us are in this together. You know what I mean? All of us.
That's we love that. Ammon, first of all, I'm going to put you on the hot seat right now, and I'm going to ask you, please come back and hang out with us some more. I know that we've got to wrap this up, because I know that we're both on a tight schedule, but we've got to get more. We have to get more of you on the
podcast. So much more to tell you.
I mean, this is like a little like taste, a little teaser, right? This is like little Tony Salsa there, man. It's just a little taste, but you just want more. You just want to keep coming back for more. Ammon, so if people want to find you, how can they kind of locate you, find you, whatever?
Yeah, so I'm on all the social media channels. My name is fairly distinct and recognized, easy to find. So AmmonCarver, all single spaced on Instagram. So Ammon Carver, and then Ammon Carver on Facebook. I think somebody made me a YouTube channel once. It hasn't been updated, so I would probably recommend the Facebook or the Instagram ones. But I would love to be back, you guys, because, you know, I left you guys at kind of like the saying goodbye to New York City and being excited about the new chapter, but that's been 3 years. And so we haven't even really so tapped more into what's been going on right now. And so, like, if you'll have me back, I would love to share with you, like,
100%.
What's currently been going on and what's currently driving me, because current events in the world are crazy. And I think it's more important than ever to be connected to purpose. And I feel particularly in the best place of my life when it comes to mentally understanding and helping navigate what we can do and how we can create an impact. And so I'll just leave the little cliffhanger with you guys so that you get me back on the show sooner.
No doubt. 100%. That's definitely happening.
Yeah, I'm gonna say we'll say goodbye, but before we hang up, we'll have it on the books.
Yeah, exactly. We'll definitely do that. Mr. Ammon Carver, thank you very, very much for joining us on your day off.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, so there it is. Hey, this is a message that we've been trying to bring, I don't know, for the last couple of months, actually since we started the podcast. Hey, so if you like the podcast or if you find that it's useful, please, please, please leave us a review, a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us a rating and a review.
But if you don't like it, forget about it.
Yeah, totally forget about this message. We also want to thank Sarah and Blaine from Pretty Gritty. Sarah and Blaine, they are a band out of Portland, Oregon, and we just want to thank them very much for allowing us to use their song, Pleased to Meet You, on our podcast. That's cool. I think you can find their music on iTunes.
Peace and hair grease.